This one hits near and dear because the love language of mine is time. And if you don't study time, if you don't understand time, you are wasting time. You are not understanding the human experience, which is based off of linear time. From the time your heart starts till the time it stops. But all time is not equal. Most people do not fail because of bad luck, unfair circumstances, or a lack of opportunity. Those exist for everyone. We fail when we misunderstand the value of time and we allow the interference, the distractions, reactions, and inconsistency to dictate that human experience from the time the heart starts till it stops. We all know people with extraordinary talent and opportunity who never maximize their potential because they waste time on what is urgent instead of what is meaningful. The time that we have is our greatest asset because it's the one thing that we never can get back. It's the subset of God's guarantee of the heart starting to stopping. It's what is divided in between the heart starting and stopping, the 24 hours every day guaranteed by God every day of your life, except for the last day. So how we spend our time reveals exactly what we love, what we value, and as Blaine teaches, even what we believe to be possible. Lesson number one, Blaine, is that time is the greatest equalizer. Every one of us receives the same 24 hours. It's God's guarantee each and every day, except for the last day of our lives. But the difference between the extraordinary results and the ordinary results is not time itself, but the value, the meaning we assign to it. How important is it to assign meaning or value to the 24 hours each and every day?
Oh, it's absolutely crucial. As you again mentioned in your preface here, we can't go to the bank and get more of it. It is the one asset that we cannot renew. So I'm either going to spend it or I'm going to invest it. And if it's an asset, I want to invest in a way that gives me a return on that investment that is significantly more than what was involved with positioning it. So, yeah, and up on my bookshelf here, I've got an hourglass. And I will, just kind of each day, just turn it over and watch the sand trickle through as a reminder. Yeah, what am I going to be doing with my day-to-day? And investing is what it's about. And I mean, as you were talking about your travels, the thing about what do I love? What gives me meaning? It shows up in my calendar. And you are a student of the calendar. You're one of the best ones I've ever met, in terms of how you work with this. And being able to actually structure that much time in a meaningful way that gives you the experience and gives Julie and your kids, gives your family the experience of fulfillment that kind of comes with that investment is a big deal. So you have to be intentional and mindful about it. And that's what this first lesson is about. It is the great equalizer. It will separate the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah, and it actually can make life easy, dissipating the dis-easy. And there's a saying, do great things when they are still small. Yeah. And I believe that applies to time, right? You do great things each and every day when it's still small, instead of waiting 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, when it seems insurmountable. And that type of discipline, allows us to, as I always say, to see the long-term success. And we see that through the patterns over time and in these small actions of thought, action, discipline, and association, which is something that we talk about. And there's nothing that human beings regret more than wasted time. And so to stay present each and every day. The second lesson that I want to discuss with you is knowing what we want creates that clarity. Why don't you go ahead and explain that to everybody, and then I'll take a question from you if that sounds fair.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to circle back, given that this is a Napoleon Hill Institute training. Napoleon wrote the book, Outwitting the Devil. And I've written another book called Stop Drifting, Start Living. And both of those books speak to, and my book is actually, you know, a response to Napoleon Hill's book on this thing. If we're not clear about what we want in life, if we're not clear about what actually lights us up, and when I say what we want in life, not what my mom or my dad wants for me, not what society wants for me, not what I think is supposed to be.
Not what Instagram wants for you.
Not what Instagram wants for me. Absolutely. Followers is not what I want in life. And trust me, it's not. Now, I may get followers because I'm following what I want in life. But the key here is if I'm not clear about it, I'm going to be at effect of everything around me. And I will have no reason, compulsion, or ability to push back on the inevitable drift that will begin to occur because I've lost connection to what matters. And that, if we put this in the context of time, the love language of time has to do with what I love. Truly. I mean, it comes back to the love language of time is organized around what would I love, not what I think I should have, but what would I love.
And it's so important to understand that we can learn to love things that we don't love or like. And that's where meaning and relativity come in, that if we're process oriented and detach ourselves from the outcomes, when we learn to love what we don't like or love through what Napoleon Hill talks about, definiteness of purpose, because it is that purpose, as your wife taught me, when the purpose is greater than the pain, we will never quit. And we say that we want success, peace, abundance, fulfillment, but rarely define it, it actually looks like in our own lives, not what people want, what's missing, what we don't have, or what other people want for us, especially on social media. Clarity allows and creates aggregation, acceleration, and exponential growth because it clears the interference and it allows the energy to flow. And where the energy flows, the attention grows and flows as well. So knowing what we want and who we can help and who can help us allows us to know what's important. And what's important allows us to assign time. And I do that with non-negotiable behavior and negotiable behavior, assigning time every day, 7 days a week, which is why I don't have to go off the grid ever, because I vacation every day. I love the last holiday because so many of the people around me were like, did you enjoy your vacation? I saw you were at, the Pelican Hill with the family, with the Ritz-Carlton and all the... I enjoy vacationing every day. And when people tell me they're burned out, I go to how are you using time each and every day? Because we should have enough recovery. We should have enough fun. We should have enough family and health and all the other things to allot for, even if we like an additional 12 hours of interfering or more difficult behaviors. If the 12 hours of sleep, health, family, finance, faith, the study of time and study of relativity is inclusive and we assign it and then we know who we can help with it and who can help us. And then we can work on the systematic side of figuring out how to get it done. But that leads me, and if anybody would like the guide on the what, the who, and the how, email me, David means beloved, at D is my first initial, Meltzer means servant, David@dmeltzer.com. Let me be your beloved servant. Email me for the what, the who, and the how exercise, inclusive of love language of time. But the what, the who, and the how leads to lesson number three. By the way, Blaine, it was so nice. I when I was at Pelican, we were walking and a gentleman stopped me. And this happens to you, but super excited. He listens to the podcast every day, follows me every day. And he has five kids, but his youngest son was back in Montclair, New Jersey. And he calls his son. He's like, you're not going to believe who I got to meet. He goes, you know who I make you listen to all the time? He goes, the beloved servant? He couldn't remember my name, but he could remember David@dmeltzer.com, the beloved servant. I thought that made my whole weekend, by the way. All right. So when you know the what, the who, and the how, this allows us to know what's important to us, what's important to us for the day. And that's circumstantial in its nature beyond the non-circumstantial, which is just no circumstance changes what's important to us with the health and the sleep and the family, the finance, the fitness, the faith and the study of time and study of relativity. But prioritizing is determinative upon knowing today, knowing the now, knowing the next, and protecting both the non-negotiables, but also prioritizing the negotiables. So our quality of life is actually determined on how well we protect, promote, perfect, and love what matters most. I'm going to repeat that. And you may know somebody that protects us, promotes us, loves, and perfects us the most because we matter most to our God. But our quality of life in the time span of 24 hours a day that our God guarantees us is determined on how well we protect, promote, love, and perfect what matters most. And so prioritization becomes a key component in order to effectuate that love. And time, obviously, is a common denominator within the context of protection, promotion, love, and perfection of what matters most. And so as we allow these negotiable activities, and I assign 12 of the 24 hours to non-negotiable, but I assign 12 of the 24 hours to negotiable activities, distractions, emotional reactions that interfere with our health, our faith, our family, our purpose, the drifting, as you say, I'm sure you mentioned this in your new book, and it allows for personal growth. This is where ease comes from. Do you have any suggestions, since you're writing a book about the drifters, of prioritization of today, of the now, of the next, that allows us to protect, promote, love, and perfect what matters most?
Yeah, actually, I do. First of all, it just starts with understanding that time is a container. And every container provides, you know, basically a creative constraint. I mean, if I pour a cup of coffee onto the table here, it has no utility to me. I've just got to go find a way to mop it up. But if I pour it into a cup, the cup constrains it, just like you've got in your hand there. That's a grateful mug. Yeah.
Yes. This is from Cynthia Kersey, by the way.
I recognize that one. But that all of a sudden it gives meaning to what's in it. It gives utility to what's in it. You're able to prioritize, you know, metaphorically, the use of that. And time provides that container. So we're talking today about the love language of time. The love language is structure. That's one way to think about it. The love language is structure, and structure enables prioritization. Structure is enabled and created by defining what is meaningful. For the sake of what am I alive? For the sake of what am I doing what I'm doing? That question of for the sake of what becomes absolutely crucial to being able to separate the wheat from the chaff, to be able to pay attention when all the noise around me is saying, hey, over here, look at me. Isn't this cool? I've got 15,000 followers as you've only got 12. Yeah. People start paying attention to inappropriate things that have nothing to do with for the sake of what matters. That's where we want to actually organize. The love language of love is about structure.
Yeah. And it's probably having the easiest way I can think about it. Yeah, and having a structure that separates non-negotiables from negotiables to prioritize what's important and allow urgent as a subset. But this is what protects us from the interference and creates a long-term growth, regardless of what will happen in time every single day, which is circumstances, uncertainty, guaranteed. The certainty is what we do and assign time to within the uncertainties that exist within the 24 hours of certainty of linear man-made constructive time. If you'd like a prioritization guide, if you would like to remain protected, promoted, loved, and perfected, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. david@dmeltzer.com. Let me be your beloved servant. I'm a student of my calendar, Blame, and lesson number 4 revolves around studying, paying attention, and giving intention to what we do, say, think, feel, and believe. in alignment with where we want to be, aligning the meaning of the path with utilizing our calendar. And our calendar, you mentioned really earlier, you touched on this. The calendar tells the truth. You know, it reveals how and what's important to us. It reveals what and how we give meaning to our day. There's so much that a calendar reveals, but it only can tell the truth. We can say we value certain things. We can say this is important to us, but our calendar reveals our actual priorities. It separates the extra milers that go the extra mile every once in a while with the empty milers that go every day for less time. You know, I talked to my son who's in finals and I said, you know, never met a kid who studied 15 minutes a day that didn't get an A. I know tons of kids who study 15 hours before the final and don't get A's. You know, let's get into the habit of the 15 minute a day plan, because we can say we value getting an A, but our calendar reveals what's actually our priorities. And so I see so many people get so busy working, telling me that their family is important to them, so I work so hard. Their health is important with them because they work so hard. That their, you know, time is so important to them and they work so hard, but or money is so important to them and they get so hard. And they get so busy working that they don't make any money, they don't spend any time with their family, and they lose their health. And so this, to me, is the great truth-sayer, our calendars. I know time is our love language, but where our time goes, our energy flows. Where you and how do you review your calendar to go against human nature, to be honest and repetitive, which is really difficult, but it is two things that the calendar reveals to us, the honesty and the repetitiveness.
Yeah. The easy answer to that is, I mean, time, God invented time so everything didn't happen all at once. That's one way to start. And if
even though it does,
it all happens at once. You know, so we don't experience
it. It's not in your consciousness. It's not in your consciousness. So he created time so you can separate everything and everyone all at once in a human experience. Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly. And that's what the calendar
is. Blaine taught me that.
You have a study. Yeah, how am I separating? The idea of, you know, an audit, do a calendar audit. Now, what's interesting here is if you're really honest and rigorous with this, you begin to notice the patterns. And human beings work in patterned ways. Yeah, that's kind of how we make sense of the world, is through the patterns that we observe. The calendar will tell me what patterns are in play in my life. And the way that we move to excellence is not, as you mentioned, doing a study overnight to try to do that. The way we move to excellence is through patterns, 15 minutes a day, 7 days a week, doing what it is that is consistent with what matters to me in my life. I say I love my family. Do I show up with my family every day? You know what I mean? I start to notice the pattern. Now, there will be breaks in that, obviously, because you know, all of a sudden something happens. But I want to look at where's the pattern. Where's the pattern? If the pattern is populated by breaks, then I've got some problems, because that's where drift really is showing up. And I'm moving away from what it is that I say I would love to have, be, and do. And
it's so true.
The audit is crucial.
Yeah, it's so true. The clues that exist in the calendar, the patterns that we see in its physical materialization, help us to make the prioritized choices by the uncertainty of time. If you'd like a guide on being a student of your calendar, studying and paying attention to what's important to you and giving intention of what you do, say, think, feel, and believe in alignment to coincide for the coincidences of your life, student of your calendar exercise at David at David Meltzer or David at dmeltzer.com. David at dmeltzer.com. Let me be your beloved servant and just go ahead and email me. Blaine, I'm going to let you take the compounding effect of daily actions, lesson number 5, and then maybe you can ask me a question.
Great. Well, you know, again, I'm going to circle back to the nature of patterns. The way that excellence in life occurs, excellence in life occurs, not perfection in life, is through pattern structures, repetition. And there's a compounding effect on this. There truly is. If you want to have confidence that you can do something, you don't just go out and buy confidence. You begin to experience it day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour. Yeah, and it starts to stack. And that's what we're doing. And how it stacks is a function of how I calendar my time, how I actually begin to pay attention to what matters. And those sorts of things start to come into play. So rather than being scattered, where I don't have the access to the compounding effect, this is where prioritization comes into play. I want to be able to prioritize what are the non-negotiables, as you're mentioning. The non-negotiables become something that allows me to begin to stack, compound, and eventually develop. I'm going to use confidence as an example here. Develop the confidence, the experience of confidence that allows me to step into a stage with 10,000 people in the audience. You know, that sort of thing. That doesn't happen overnight. I don't just pull the trigger on that or flip the switch. I actually have built the confidence over time. There are no overnight successes. There are people that exhibit success as a result of compounded time spent doing, invested in doing that which matters and contributes to what they say they want to have, do, or be. So, you know, if we go back in time, you know, here, and I'm going to go back about, you know, 15 years, 12, 15 years, when you started moving into what you're doing now. I remember going to one of your meetups in Marina Del Rey in the library, and there was me and you. It's kind of like, okay, what are we doing here? He says, well, I do these all the time. And yep. The external results do not indicate to me this ultimate success of what I'm doing. The external results are momentary snapshots in time. The aggregation is what we're looking for. So the question here has to do with, how did you handle the experience of looking around going, okay, this doesn't appear to be working?
You're right. Well, it's consistency that always beats intensity. And, you know, there's the compounding nature of all matter. The daily disciplines eventually become the coincidences. And when we look for the patterns of our behavior, of association, like our association, or thoughts, or actions, we understand that focusing in on and being great with the small daily disciplines are what actually compounds daily, that leads to, you know, having over 1,000 people come to a meetup. If somebody would have told me 15 years ago, when one or two people showed up to the meetups, that someday they would have to have police around me in an area because so many people were attending, I would have had a hard time believing it. Just the same as if somebody would have told me almost 20 years ago when I lost everything that I'd be in the position I am today, I would have laughed at it as well. So understanding the compounding effect of clues, patterns, and choices of behaviors, mainly knowing that consistency always beats intensity. And that's where those extra milers are, right? They're very intense for a short amount of time. They go the extra mile every once in a while, and then they use that to justify why they aren't where they want to be. Where the people that show up every city, donate an hour of their time every Wednesday for Napoleon Hill Institute training, it's those people that get the exponentiality of outcomes that they couldn't even imagine. And they don't imagine it. They imagine what it takes every day to do it and allow the outcomes to manifest themselves better than they could imagine, not limiting themselves by worrying about, wow, only two people are here. And that takes a lot of practice. Getting into the last lesson, anybody wants that consistency lesson that Blaine described, david@dmeltzer.com, or the guide from today, or the replay, david@dmeltzer.com. Reminder, Blaine will be sticking around after this last lesson to answer questions, which is a huge blessing for all of us. One of the world's biggest thought leaders here with us every Wednesday to answer questions. Lesson 6 is about awareness, and awareness is so powerful when it is an awareness that has this infinite loop of gratitude involved in it. Most suffering is a choice because it comes from the interference, the fear, resentment, comparison, the judgment, and need to control, defend, or prove ourselves. When we hold on to these, when we hold on to the interference that we create and operate from scarcity, we disconnect from the ease, the peace, the abundance, the possibility that Blaine teaches, and even the probability and perspective that gives us the ability to make a lot of money for the sake of helping others and having fun. This awareness is what allows us to get alignment, to take action, and to make the appropriate adjustment. Gratitude within the infinite loop will raise our awareness to make life easy. Elevating awareness means I'm now aware of that which I am interfering with, because we are connected to and through an infinite, abundant, unified system of thought. We're connected to an infinite amount of intelligence, intuition, energy, and inspiration. And the greater our awareness, the easier it is to determine what we're doing to interfere with that infinite, infinite loop that we belong to. Blaine, you've created and practiced a great awareness in your life, and you have had many circumstances that gave you an opportunity to suffer, but you chose to learn and to grow and to live in the infinite for the majority of time. I repeat, majority of time.
Yep.
This infinite loop of energy, infinite intelligence, intuition, and inspiration is only utilized effectively with awareness. For you, when did your enlightenment or awareness start, and how has it evolved?
Oh, goodness. Well, it started, if I could put a pin in it, probably about 1972, right around that. I had taken, I love to read. I'm a very eclectic reader. I've got thousands of books in storage, as well as all my bookcase and stuff. And Bob Proctor also, a mutual friend of ours, may he rest in peace, was an insatiable reader. And the idea of reading has to do with not just how many books have I read, but how deeply have I gone into the books. And that's where I think awareness really serves. Awareness, the value of awareness is it illuminates choices I've never recognized as being present before. And it's with the awareness of choice that I can then begin to do some things differently. So when I talk, when you ask me about the idea of moving past suffering, as an example, I mean, I've had, we're adults here. I've had shit happen in my life, just as you have. I haven't lost $100 million. But I've lost a lot of other stuff in the process. Yeah.
Much more important things than money. Yes.
Well, yes. Everything is, we assign importance and whatnot to it. And when it's lost, I can do one of two things. And one of them is, oh my God, this is horrible. This shouldn't have happened. How dare the universe conspire against me and all of that sort of stuff. Or I can move to a position of a recognition that the universe is an abundant place. There's, you can't outgive the universe. There is so much. And then, and Bob was really important about and insistent about that. You cannot outgive the universe. Mary Morrissey is also a very good dear friend of both of ours. She's always talking about you can't outgive the universe. And the idea of abundance, and this is kind of a way that I encapsulate all three of these components in this particular lesson. If I act as nature does, there's nothing in nature that serves as a center of accumulation. Everything in nature serves as a center of distribution in some way, shape, or form. So just that notion, in the fullness of time, everything will eventually serve as a center of distribution. I will at some point in time return to the earth, either in the form of ash or whatever it is, but I will return. So everything just kind of goes full cycle. That metacognition, that meta-awareness allows me to understand that there's nothing ever lost. There's nothing ever lost. And if there's nothing ever lost in the fullness of time, I have no reason to suffer because I don't have access to it right now. It's still present. It's still present. It's just transforming. It's just moving itself. And that's the nature of transformation. Transformation isn't about being better. It's about being different. Yeah, I end up being different as I grow. I'm a different person today in the fullness of time. And that's how all of this stuff kind of conspires here. And the key here is it's an abundant universe. And what my job is in the context of time is to be able to structure my time in a way that allows for me to be abundantly rich and fulfilled in this day, moment, hour, year that I have to play with.
And that is the love language of time. If anybody, you know, in that respect, you know, it's so interesting, Blaine. You can't give the universe, but you can't out-receive the universe. And people confuse receiving with taking.
Yeah.
Because receiving is a gift. And so we might get into that on another training. But if anybody would like the triple A strategy to awareness, just email me, David means beloved, at D is my first initial, Meltzer means servant, David@dmeltzer.com, David@dmeltzer.com. If you feel like God is making you wait, then do what waiters do, serve.
Serve.
So the AAA strategy is there for us to give and receive. David@dmeltzer.com. We're going to hand it off after I do a quick conclusion to the incredible Blaine Bartlett to do Q&A. Remember, everyone, in this idea of the love language of time, that our future is not determined by what we wish for. It's determined by what we consistently do, say, think, feel, believe with time that we have been given, the 24 hours that we're given every single day, guaranteed, no matter what, except for the last day of your life, it will be cheated. The people who create these extraordinary lives are not always the smartest, the luckiest, or the most talented. Trust me, they're simply more intentional with their time, more intentional in time with energy, attention, and behavior. They pay attention to and give intention to the coincidences they want, and the universe cooperates. It coincides with that attention and intention. How we spend our time reveals exactly what we value and who we are becoming. Time is our love language because how we spend our time reveals exactly what we love or what we've learned to love. What we value, what we feel, and what we believe is possible. When we align our lives with intentional action, consistent discipline, gratitude, and most importantly, service, we don't just manage time, we maximize our lives. This has been the Love Language of Time training. If you'd like a copy of the guides and exercises from today, David@dmeltzer.com. If you'd like a replay of this training, David@dmeltzer.com. I am blessed to have the amazing Blaine Bartlett as my partner at the Napoleon Hill Institute, a chief chancellor of the Institute and of Junior Achievement as well, the seventh largest charity in the world, and also on the board of Unstoppable. Be more interested than interesting, and be kind. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds.